Body. Hi, welcome. I feel like it's been forever since I've been live, but guess what? The team is back. We're gonna be discussing Happily Ever After tonight, and then we're gonna do some MILF Manor and Love in Paradise tomorrow. Next week is the finale of Love in Paradise, so we are gonna be wrapping up the, I kind of call it what's left of the relationships because it's all falling apart. But yes, we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. We're going to talk about this Happily Ever After episode 14 tonight. What went on with that? I'm excited because the girls are back. The team, Dee Dee and Kara will be with us today. I know it's been a hot second since we've been together. So I'm excited to have everybody back. And I don't know what birthday. Wait, whose birthday was it? Whose birthday was it? It wasn't mine. Mine hasn't happened yet. Mine is still coming. Hey.
Hi.
Well, hi, stranger.
Hello.
How've you been?
I've been doing good. How have you been doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be back.
I didn't tell anybody where you were. I just made sure they knew that you were not incarcerated. So no one knows where you were. I told them that if you wanted to
Hi.
tell them that.
Hi. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be back. Well,
So it's been a minute since we've all been together. So I want to talk about this Happily Ever After episode. But first, before we jump into what happened, hi, Daddy. Is that for me? Was that
George,
for us?
you got some explaining to
I don't. Anyway, so I want to talk about. So Angela was on Drew Barrymore today. So she said on the episode that she was still with Michael, but I got some information from one of my amazing listeners who said that they had tickets for the live taping of the show that Angela was on. This filmed February 15th. So nobody freak out. I don't think that Michael and Angela are together. I think that this was just old footage that just happened to get aired because I posted it on my story and then people started reaching out and they were like, and then someone actually wrote me. She said that she got an email, but she didn't see it till after. She was supposed to be in the audience and the date was the 15th and she didn't actually open the email until after it had already passed. So I think that, and I think that's right around the time that Michael disappeared, right?
yeah, and I feel so sad because now I lost a wee bit of respect for Drew Barrymore.
If it makes you feel any better, Drew had no idea who Angela was.
Oh, that makes me feel a lot better.
Ross is who brought her on. And
Now I
Drew,
lost a little respect for
yeah,
Ross.
Ross is the reason why she was on because Drew literally sat there and was like, tell me about you. What are you about? Like, he didn't know anything about her, which was interesting. I was like, you don't know who Angela is? But it's funny because I have to realize that everyone doesn't live in the little cocoon bubble that I live in, right? Like, some people like sports, you know, and some
Yeah, I
people like
know.
others, right? Like some people like the Real Housewives. They don't live in the same little bubble as me. But oh, I wanted to talk about Angela from the show too, because she kind of spoke to an immigration attorney and she was going through the list of things that she found on his phone with the Paradise Men. Michael gave some explanations. So I want to go over explanations with y'all too, because he said the tax information was he needed to have those documents on him for the interview. Real or fake? Do you think? Because I feel like when you submit an application, it's probably done through the internet, right? Like online. So do you think that he needed to have copies of documents on his phone, or do you think that that's something that they already had?
I believe it.
You believe that he needed to have her tax returns on his phone
Yeah,
for the interview?
she probably sent it to him and he took it to this cafe to print it off, like he said. I mean, that's believable to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I
So
believe the
one of
same thing too. I mean, because if they're doing everything over the internet, she's in the US, he's over there. I mean, it ain't like they can go down to the office and turn it in.
Yeah, I've never really seen Michael sit in his office with his computer and his printer and whatever.
right. He also said that the bag of money, remember she saw like a bag and it was supposed to be a bag of money. He said that that was actually his router that he
Don't believe
had shipped
that either.
to
She
Abidjan.
just she likes to make a mountain out of a molehill, so I'm sure she's dramatizing everything.
Yeah, I mean, she does overreact. She takes information and she goes to the worst case scenario because I'm guilty of that too. Like I like to go to the worst case scenario, so if it's not, I have some relief coming. But there's some questionable stuff going on, right? Like I think we're to the point where we know that Michael has some tricks up his sleeve. We know that Michael has played us to think that he's not as smart as he really is, right? Like I feel like Michael is way smarter than anybody gave him credit for, even Angela herself. I think Angela thought that she was with a guy who didn't have a lot of intelligence, and I think that's how she ended up in the situation that she ended up in. But my question for y'all is, how did Michael end up here? Because she seems pretty clear that she was getting scammed, right? Like she said in this episode, she was like, how much longer am I going to allow this man to scam me? How much money is he going to get out of me? How did I let it get this far? And then lo and behold, he's here. So, do you think that Angela is just a really gullible person? Like, do you really believe that he was able to convince her that every single thing in his phone is a coincidence?
No, I
No,
think that.
I think that she let them TLC check get in the way.
Yep.
She let them red flags slap her in the face, but she didn't care
Yep.
because all she seen was cha-ching every time they was on TV.
Yep.
So
If I
you think.
have a relationship with him, I end my relationship with TLC.
Do you think TLC made promises to Angela? Do you think if they said, if you can get Michael on US soil, did they probably guaranteed her more shows? They probably were like, if you can get him here, we'll film this with you. Or if you can get him here, we'll give you a spinoff. If you can get him here, we would do. Do you think that that's kind of a driving force behind it too? Because it had been 7 years, had been a long time. Do you think that they probably made it more lucrative for her to make that decision?
Well, like we talked about
Possible.
before, the more dramatic, the more hated, the more loved, the more episodes, the more seasons, the more you get paid. So I'm sure that at this point, they know how toxic she is, how vile she is, and how she's willing to do anything to just stay on TV. So I'm sure it wasn't a hard sell for them.
No, I mean, and I don't know what the situation is because I got information that Michael is gonna be physical at the tell-all. So, and I think that this was right before he disappeared. So I'm really wondering, like what we're gonna see. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I bet the tell-all is gonna be good. And I was like, you might actually be right, because this is the last probably week or two before he escaped,
Yeah.
right? So I'm assuming that he was letting more slip out than he was while they were filming, right? Like I feel like he was a little more guarded, he was a little more protective of what he let on or said, but I feel like towards the end he was already here. And you heard what the immigration attorney said. Once he gets here, that visa's activated and he is then not a citizen, but he has all the rights that he would need as a citizen because this isn't a K-1 visa, this is a spousal visa.
Yep.
And nothing stands in the way of that affidavit of support. So no prenuptial agreement, no divorce, no marriage fraud case. Nothing is gonna change. Right, Judy, right, a US resident. He is gonna have everything that he needs from day one once he gets here, once that visa is activated.
Well, I think
And
he
I
wanted
think
to wait until after the tell-all because after the tell-all, that's when they get their final check, correct?
you're
Okay, he needed
100%
that
right.
final check and he needed that green card to disappear because he already knew because Angela made the mistake by telling him that even if he came over here, even if they weren't together, she was still responsible for him for at least 10 years, which means she has to give him money regardless whether he's working or not. She is responsible for him.
And he can sue her. He
Exactly.
can literally sue
That
her for
would be
support.
awesome.
Can you imagine Michael taking Angela Dean to court to sue her? Like, in the ironic
I
part of
would
the
want to be in
situation,
that courtroom.
Yeah.
it was the irony for me because I could see in her eyes how angry she was. And I was like, you put yourself here, though. Like, you going over there, destroying his car, screaming at him, throwing cake in his face, like drinks in his face. Now he can sue you. Not only that, but the federal government can also sue her. Like she is now becoming enemy of the state. Like if she goes about any of this wrong, and let's be realistic, Michael is probably gonna go after every avenue that he can to get back at her because let's just be real. Michael did not come out of this unscathed. okay? Like, Michael went through a lot, and he's probably going to look for every avenue or every opportunity he can to get back at her, because, you know, that's what happens when love goes wrong. It goes from I love you to what can I do to make your life a living hell? And I feel like that's probably the things that he's going to exercise. And I could see him taking her to court over something simple, $500. It's because it's more so I get to do this and I'm in control, and now the tables have turned. It's more so I get to prove to you I am worth it, and the way you treated me was not right. And I feel like he's just going to definitely come back at her. And everybody is kind of interested. Everybody wants to see how he's going to handle it. And I think the beginning of how he's going to get back at her is going to be at the tell-all. I think that this tell-all, they've been really tight-lipped, because I know there is a studio audience. So I've been checking Reddit. I've been checking different places to see if I can get any information. It's very, very tight-lipped. I haven't gotten any information. All I know is Nicole and Mahmood. Remember I told you guys Nicole and Mahmood did not show up to the tell-all? I have now gotten new information where they were not invited to the tell-all. So that was the latest information that I got. But that raises more questions than answers, because Angela and Michael were, Nicole and Mahmood weren't. We can't pick and choose what side of right we want to be on, right? Yeah. You know, we can't. Well, since Nicole and Mahmood bring less viewership, let's just say that they shouldn't be here. But since Angela and Michael bring more viewership, it doesn't matter, right? Like, I feel like you should stick to the right side of morals for everybody. And I feel like they definitely picked and chooses who's going to bring in more ratings. And that type of domestic situation is okay, because people want to watch it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad that Nicole and Mahmood aren't on there. I cannot wait to see how Michael retaliates. I just can't wait.
And you know what? At the end of the day, Angela deserves everything that Michael throws at her, because how she treated him. She treated him so bad. Like, she deserves everything that he throws at her.
Yeah, 100%. She humiliated him on TV for years and years and years. Yep, she gets it.
So, Sophie and her mom decided to go and get her stuff from her apartment, Rob's apartment. I want to say her apartment, because she never actually really lived in it. And she's been staying with Kay. So I thought of something last night. It was really interesting. Do you guys remember that Sophie's mom was in London, and she came to visit to meet Rob, and she's never left?
Yep.
That really strikes me as really interesting, because she supposedly had her own life. She had her own place. She was doing things outside of Sophie's life. She came to meet Rob right before the wedding, and if you call it a wedding, the beach wedding that he had, and she stayed on the floor in the Roach Motel in front of the refrigerator, and since then she's never left. She's even followed them to Texas. This is really strange to me. Like, the whole situation with Sophie and her mom is really strange. It really raises a lot of questions, because they supposedly come from a wealthy family. They're well-to-do, but they seem to be clinging on to anybody here that will give them a free life.
Yeah.
Right? Because she was supposedly dating some guy in Texas who couldn't afford car insurance. And then he got into an accident and she broke her leg or something with her leg. What is the deal with her mom, and why won't she leave? Like, I'm just trying to understand, for someone who's, and how is she here? She's not a legal resident, right? Like, how is she even here to begin with?
I don't know, but in the beginning of this shit show, I was all team Sophie. I was totally against Rob. But now I'm totally team Rob. Like, he's done everything right. Like, he says the right thing, doing the right things. He's moved up. He's got an apartment. He does. I mean, granted, it's a little stuffed animal, but he's doing the little things. He's showing initiative. She's not doing shit. And her mom's just this great big boil that won't pop. She just keeps
right. She's a leak. She is a leech.
Yes.
Well, what's really interesting to me is Rob gave her the stuffed animal, the little inside out stuffed animal. And she's like, oh, now I really feel bad for what I'm about to do. And it showed that she's emotionless, because she keeps saying like, oh, well, maybe he'll show me that he's changed. Maybe I can see something that'll make me want to say, but no matter what, because he did do something. He did show her that. She was happy with that. Her face lit up. But she knew that she was there to do a job, and that job was to get her stuff and leave. And it kind of shows that she's emotionless, and she's never had any stock in this relationship, in this marriage. She's never, no matter what he does, I guess is what it is saying, is no matter what he does, she has to leave him. That's part of the, because when she's like, I still have to do what I have to do, I was like, well, it doesn't really matter. She keeps saying, well, he won't show me anything. And like you said, Rob is an insufferable human being, right? Like, he's not somebody that most women are gonna flock to, but she's asked him to show change, right? For starting with the apartment. She was like, we need a nicer apartment. He got one. They needed a nicer vehicle, something she could fit in. He got something bigger. She's asked for different things. She wanted him to stop online cheating, but I can't say that he did that. She hasn't lived with him long enough to know what he's doing. Like, right. He could have stopped. She would never know because she won't move back in. But it's like she keeps asking for things. And, you know, we got to give credit where credit is due. He's doing stuff. You know, he apologized to Sophie and Claire for the way that he spoke at that dinner or whatever, where she keeps bringing her.
That would have been hard. I would have just pushed her ass down the stairs, crutches and all.
Well, she is basically, he said it, his worst enemy. She is that cockroach leech, right? Like, that won't go away. You kill one, there's a million more. She's always there putting her negativity into the relationship. And it's like, I think it's important that you have a support system when you're going through a tough relationship, but it's also important that you don't have somebody coercing your thought process or always trying to manipulate you. You just need more so somebody to listen. And I feel like Claire is there to make decisions for Sophie. And I don't know what Claire's intentions are. Like, I used to think that she was...
This goes back to the TLC checks. So they've been done for a long time. We know that Sophie's in a relationship with Kay. That's why she slowly introduced it into the show. I might be bisexual. Then the next season, I've been with lots of women, I just haven't said it. Then all of a sudden her mom's here. And then her mom says, oh, we should get an apartment together. And she's like, nah, I'll just stay with Kay. Okay, you wouldn't feel bad about going to tell your husband that you're going to go stay with a friend because you need a little bit of space, who you've already been staying with, so you've already had your space, if there wasn't something to feel bad about. So she's going with Kay, but if she breaks it off entirely with Rob, there's no more show.
Right.
Look, I gotta say something, okay? I've been gone for a couple of weeks, so I can't. Can I say something?
Let it out, Dee Dee. We've been waiting.
Okay. Well, maybe Rob is a Vienna sausage. I mean, maybe he's a Vienna sausage, and maybe the strap is a whole lot bigger. Maybe Kay knows how to move it better than Rob does. I mean, come on, you know.
I agree.
Well, if anybody was
saying a woman knows what a woman wants, and like,
there's pictures on Reddit. I'm not telling y'all to go look, but there are people. So if anybody was wondering.
Look!
Cara, are you really looking?
She's already got her phone.
There's pictures on Reddit. I don't know. Well, I do know how they got there. They're from his OnlyFans. But Reddit users, they remind me of the FBI, CIA. They find everything, right? So they're on there. They're on Reddit. And Cara, be careful, though, because there's other stuff, too. Things that you might not want to see that might jump out at the screen at you, so just be careful.
What's his last name?
Warn.
I think
W-A-R-N, or that might be Scott. I think his is W-A-R-N-E. Has a close last name to Scott, but I mean, you could be onto something, Dee Dee. Like, maybe it's not bisexual with Sophie, it's lesbian. But maybe it was easier. Maybe Rob was an easier sucker to get what she needed to get over here. So maybe that she used. Did you see it?
I'll have to go through this when we're done.
Right? I was trying to warn you. You have to brace yourself.
We both gonna have to go through it.
Yeah. Go through that. There are
time to process.
Yes, there are butt plugs involved. So just be very careful.
Oh my.
You know,
yes.
But okay, so let's move on to we talked about Angela, we talked about Sophie. Oh yeah, so Jasmine and Gino, right? So I got some interesting information. Portuguese Princess, I think you're the one that sent it to me. So the Miss International pageant, right? There are guidelines and regulations, and Portuguese Princess sent me the guidelines. And it says that the person could have never done anything, either internet or in print, that contains nudity, implies nudity, or is sexual in nature, which is part of the regulations and guidelines to being in the Miss International pageant down in Florida. So notice, we've never seen any photos on Jasmine's social media of her in any type of pageant, right? And I feel like that's something that she would have shared. So it makes me wonder, did she ever actually sign up for the pageant, or was this a storyline? Because it is possible maybe she signed up for the pageant and then they asked her to leave later. Like, maybe she didn't disclose the OnlyFans situation and then maybe they figured it out. Or do you think that there was ever a pageant at all?
It's a storyline. Okay, hold on. As we saw tonight, I have a different idea of what a yacht is. So, Gino and Jasmine were clearly on this yacht looking at alligators. And Gino says, I want you to be in a pageant. I signed you up, blah, blah, blah. Jasmine says, okay, and now we have to buy a dress and we got something to fight about. I'm going to take you to somebody who can tell you how to walk and talk in a pageant. Excuse me, but we've never seen, like, her enter the pageant or, I mean, I realize there's still 700 episodes coming of this shitstorm, but we might see it. But I think that this is all just a storyline. Another freaking storyline. I don't think there's any pageant. I don't think anybody wants her. I think her ass cheeks alone, being as lumpy as they are, have disqualified her from any pageantry of any kind. Unless she's only filmed from the front, from the neck down, then she's good. But you film her from the back, that's a shit show. You film her from the neck up, that's a shit show. Like, this has to be...
It is a storyline because you do not get in pageants that easy. You don't get in the public eye as far as like making movies or pageants or modeling or anything. It is not easy. Trust me, I know it ain't easy. And well, it's not just a couple of $1,000 that you just pay and they say, okay, yeah, you paid for it so you can be in it. No, that's all bullshit. Yeah.
See, I don't want to get too off subject, but there was another show, a TLC show called Smothered. And there was a young girl on there called Gabriella. She was on with her mother. She was actually in the Miss Connecticut USA pageant and they followed it on the show. And the season that they filmed, she didn't place. And she said that it was actually because she was on TV that the judges wanted nothing to do with her. So I wonder if maybe she wanted to enter and they didn't want her because of that. It's really interesting because I always thought that that type of situation, your publicity, because she has like a million followers on TikTok and this girl had a lot going on, that she said that she didn't even place. And it wasn't because she wasn't good. They just felt that if they would have let her win, people would have said you picked her because of her notoriety, because of her being a celebrity. So I was also wondering, maybe Jasmine is too popular online or on reality TV for a pageant as well. Like, there's a lot of
Jasmine
different...
ain't popular. Jasmine got a deflated ass. That's what Jasmine got.
Yeah, she's got a following, but it's not for the right reasons.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we know why people are purchasing her OnlyFans, right? We're not going to pretend like we don't know what's really going on.
Yeah.
So Jasmine said that Gino is the most beautiful man on earth. She said that she added in her eyes. And he said
but
that...
now we know that Jasmine needs glasses.
Yeah. He also said that his favorite asset of hers were her big perky breasts. So it's no surprise to me why this relationship is hanging on by a sewing needle thread at this point, because this is how
you cannot pick breasts or vagina or butt or even a mouth as your favorite body part,
right,
to someone that you don't want to have sex with. I'm sorry, you just I need you to initiate sex. What's your favorite part? Your boobs. But I don't want to have sex with you. So none of this story is even I just can't.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's back up a second. Didn't she say on last season that that's the only reason why she had the butt implants is because Gino always said that his favorite part of her was her butt?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
But he said last night that his favorite part of her is her boobs?
Yes, but also she said like 3 episodes ago that she's withholding having sex from him because she doesn't want to get pregnant after she told him she wants to get pregnant. So then you go to the next episode and he's not giving her sex. So
I don't understand.
What happened to bringing her kids over? Like, why couldn't they take that money to pay for the lawyer to bring her kids over? So what happened? So the kids are no longer important?
That storyline is over. That storyline has taken its toll. Now we're actually, I kind of feel like the pageant one is old too. Yeah. Now we've gotten to he needs to initiate sex because they're not having sex. Like, they've been, it's like rapid fire storylines with Jasmine and Gina. We go from one thing to the next so quickly. Do you remember we were dealing with whether or not they were going to allow his family at the wedding? Remember how fast that storyline went and came?
Yeah.
It's just rapid fire storylines. And if you blink, you might miss the fact that we've entered into a new one. Because yep. In my opinion, if she really wanted her babies over there enough, it would be like the threesome situation with Adriano. Every conversation is going to go there. Yep. If that's what she really wanted, right? Like, but I feel like if you want to put $1,200 into a pageant when you could put a little bit more and get your kids, what good is a sash or a crown when you can have your kids, you know? But it has to be a priority,
but
right?
We have to point out that Gino is the master of baiters because that's going to be the next fight, right? All he does is masturbate. He doesn't want to have sex. He's addicted to porn online, blah, 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 so that she can throw a fit, get a day at the spa, a trip to Florida, all the things. Cause
yeah, she's saying that. Well, now Gino's her manager. I forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to mention Gino is now her manager. He also almost entered the Mr. Michigan, but almost doesn't count, Gino. You got to enter.
But he looked good younger.
I saw pictures. I saw those pictures, and I was like, I'm getting a Mr. New Jersey, but he could have did it, right? Like, he definitely could have did it. But now she's saying that he took video of another girl in the pageant to help her. Is okay. His interpretation was to help her as her manager so she could take notes. Her interpretation was he was taking video to look at to pleasure himself. Okay, weird thing, but like the internet exists. So like if you wanted to like look at girls to pleasure yourself, you don't go and like film people out in public to do that.
Right.
That's super weird. And I really don't think Gina would do that when you could just go online in the privacy of your own home and do that.
Legitimately filming people in the pageant, that I don't think that that's weird. I bet he's not the only one.
No, there's plenty of husbands, boyfriends, mothers, sisters who are filming their loved ones who are participating. This is a huge deal for a lot of women.
Yeah. It's just like going to your kid's school play. You don't just film your kid, you film the whole play.
Well, yeah, or it won't make sense. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's. I think that she's always going to find something wrong with him because it's just like with Sophie. We know what the end game is. They have to break up. Right? So no matter what Rob does, no matter what Gino does, it has to be wrong.
Yeah.
Because the end game is I have to cut this person loose so I can live my life in the U.S. without them. And that's kind of that it always has to end in the same place. So, I want to talk about Alexi because Alexi is kind of over his wife because she's been out for 6 weeks and, you know, he's the only one that works in this family, right? Like, Lauren, I don't want to say that like out of shade because Lauren is a mother who has three babies. That is a job. But like, he's the only one that has to physically go out and work. So he has to do that. And then I guess the daycare center is closed. Isn't that crazy? Daycare centers have the audacity to close. Like, where are people supposed to put their kids when you go to work? Like, how the hell do y'all? Anyway, so the daycare center is closed and he's having to deal with life as a dad on his own. And I want to take up a little bit for Alexi because Twitter was eating him alive because they were like, if the shoes were on the other foot, Lauren would be expected to do everything and not complain. And that's true. Women are expected to do everything and not complain. But when you add two or three extra things to a man's plate, you know, it tends to push him over the edge. But
it's
two
or three extra things. It's three freaking spoiled brat kids in a high-rise apartment with your dad from another country, your in-laws up your ass, and your snotty ass wife. That's a whole different level of a couple different things.
Yeah. I mean, I think that parents, because I've learned that parents' duties vary by the gender of the parent. I've learned this growing up. Like, women are supposed to just do everything, and then men are just supposed to help when needed. And I think that men crumble under pressure when they realize how much it takes to run a household without any help. And I do get, like, you're, what you're saying, there are a lot of people helping Alexi. I think that they have a good support system. But at the same time, I think he realized him supporting his wife and being a good guy and a good husband was the opposite of what he should have done. Because he was like, my undying support and my, you know, acceptance of what she needed got me here. And it's like, yeah, she didn't need this. This isn't like a life-saving transplant surgery, right? She didn't need this. She wanted
it. And she doesn't look any different.
She looks, no. Honestly, can I be real? I think she looks worse.
First of all, Kara, I think me and you need to go see that doctor. You know why? Because for somebody who had all that surgery done, there is no scarring.
Yeah.
There, I haven't seen not the first where they cut her. Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen nothing. We need to go see that doctor, Cara. If we can get something done like that and not have no nothing, then, I mean, we need to go see that doctor.
And we can go back to work tomorrow because we're totally fine.
Exactly.
And then when my husband walks in and I don't have the balls to say it loud enough, I can say, fucking asshole. As he walks out.
Well,
that's not how that works.
If I'm mad,
the neighbors are going to hear it.
I want to feel bad for her, but I also know that it's her own fault. And it's like, I don't tell people what to do to make themselves happy or whatever, but she was beautiful. And again, this is irrelevant because it's how you feel inside. But she was beautiful the way she was. And I feel like the surgery, she looks so swollen and out of it and terrible. You know, it's like, I hate to see people put themselves through something like that to try to change the way they feel inside.
The way she's flopping around, the way she's walking, the way she just, didn't she have butt implants? Okay, if you have butt implants, why are you flopping around like that? And then didn't she have something done right here? Well, she was never bruised. She was supposed to have some surgery back here. There's no cuts. There's no bruising. Like, then she's supposed to have all of her stomach done.
She had her boobs and her throat and her back and her arms and her belly and all the things. But did anybody else notice when she's unfolding the fitted sheets and she's throwing away everything that's stuck in the fitted sheet? She did that all like a normal person. And then as soon as she set the fitted sheet down, it was,
Oh, yeah. I noticed that.
Yeah.
She didn't, the pain didn't start until they had focused in closer on her so she could show how much in pain she was. And I don't want to downplay the pain. Like, I've had medical procedures done, right? Like, I don't want to downplay pain. And I know it can be horrible and recovery can be horrible. But again, when you pick your battles, like I think my mom taught me, you make your bed or you dig your pit, you got to lay in it, right? Like, this is what you chose. This is what you wanted. Nobody told you it was going to be easy. Literally everyone that you told you were going to do this were like, this isn't going to be easy, you know, for anybody involved. And it actually affected so many different people other than her. I feel like it affected her the least. It affected everybody else more than it even affected her. And I think a lot of people are just calling her entitled.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, in reality, I think is the reason why she did it is because all of Alexa's focus and energy is going to the babies, and she couldn't have that. She's got to be the center of attention. That's why she could not wait until they were older. That's why she had to have it right then and there, so Alexis could take the focus off them, off the babies, and put all the focus on her.
Well,
I don't feel sorry for her at all.
You get three babies under, what are they, under three or four?
Under three.
Yeah. Under three.
Three babies under three.
You can kind of expect the focus to not be on you. Right, like,
but also your spouse's country is at war, it's under attack. There's everything, his family's there, his mother's there. That by itself is enough to leave him the hell alone. But you're gonna just hop in the middle and go, by the way, guess what I'm doing for me? No, she's so freaking entitled. I can't,
Like, honestly, I think it's no secret. Because, you know, I've never covered anything. Like, they had their own show. I never covered it. They're my least favorite. Like, no offense. They're probably really nice people. I've never met them. But, like, drama-wise, and I can't tolerate them. And Lauren especially. She might be nice. I'm just saying. She rubs me the wrong way. I don't have any issue with Alexi, but they're attached. So, you know, guilty by association, sorry.
Yeah.
I've just never been a fan of either one of theirs. I just can't tolerate. They're entitled is the right word, right? Yep. Like, they're just very entitled. They just expect, you know, things the way that they want it, no matter what, no matter how it affects other people. And people like that dearly get to be, you know, like, you can't just make decisions and do things based on what you want and just assume everybody's going to just be okay because you wanted it. You know, that pisses me off.
Yeah, me too.
They're just boring.
So Patrick, Thais, Carlos, Jose, and John all had dinner together, and it went as well as I thought it would go, right? So it was the war of the dads. The dads are attacking each other. And John, who can't understand anything that they're saying, is the one who's the most vocal, you know, in trying to be a mediator. I've never heard of a mediator who can't speak the same language, but I think he did a really good job, right? Because we got Jose attacking Carlos. We got Carlos coming after Jose. And we got people mad about not getting the blessing. And we got Carlos yelling at Jose for charging money for the baby's party. It just was crazy. The fact also, isn't it weird that Patrick and Thais, he visited Thais a lot, right? Back when, before they were married. Isn't it weird that their families never crossed paths?
Yeah.
Like, it's really interesting to me that the people never got together and never did anything, because this baby is about to be 2 years old, right? Like, or is my math off? She's gonna be one year old. Yeah, 1 year old when this was filmed. And, you know, that's a long time for the families not to meet this baby. But what was even more weird, I completely always forget that Alessi is there, because she's always the least focus of their families. The families are always interested in fighting and money and bickering and acting as though they can't seem to see eye to eye. And I was like, the most important part of this whole situation is this little baby.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're ignoring her existence. And it just made me realize all family isn't good family, right? Like, I feel like when people are that toxic and they are using you and they're using you for what you can do for them, everybody isn't good family. Because, oh, apparently, I have a question for y'all. So Patrick keeps saying that the apartment costs a few thousand dollars a year. Is he renting this apartment? I thought that he bought this apartment. No. But he said that it's not a condo and it's not a high rise. So is this just a rental?
Yeah.
I thought he bought it and then he's paying his dad rent. That's how what I understood.
That's why his dad
wants him to paint it and clean it and all this other stuff, because he, whether they're there or not, he gives his dad money a month for that apartment.
That's what I thought. I was really confused, because he was like, oh, because at first he said he got it because when he would come to visit, he would stay with his dad, and he didn't want to bring Thais there because he was staying with his dad. So he got the apartment, and now he won't get rid of it. Thais wants him to get rid of it. John wants him to get rid of it. Patrick wants to hold on to it. And I think it's because if he gets rid of the apartment, his dad might retaliate in a negative way. And I think that Patrick is just terrified of going from, I mean, as a young child, no relationship to his dad. He now has a relationship sort of with his dad, going back to not having one. And, you know, we talked about this before. He recently lost his mom when they were out in Brazil. It was within two months of him losing his mother. So it's pretty fresh. So you don't really go out and actively try to sever relationship with your only living left parent, right? Like, that's not something that you go out and you plan on doing. You don't ever want to do that. I just feel like this whole situation, it's just a whole toxic situation. And I hate to see the actual birthday party, right? Because we haven't even worked our way up to the birthday party. We've just kept seeing each escalation of each situation worse and worse. I can't imagine how it's going to go.
Well, you know how we were talking about the timeline between the single life and happily ever after, and how we already knew John was with Megan. Did anybody else notice that John's been wearing his ring through this whole thing?
I didn't notice the ring.
Yeah, through the whole thing. So even if we didn't see the single life, we would have all been questioning it anyway.
Yeah, I was wondering that too. I was wondering if he was going to mention Megan at all, but I don't know if they knew what was going to air and when and what was going to air first. So they probably wanted it to stay under wraps. So I totally understood that. But how do you guys feel about this whole situation with the dads fighting each other over the blessing and the money in the apartment. Like, what do you want to happen between them? Like, what needs to happen?
First of all of this is going on because of Thais. Thais is the one that lied from the get-go. Thais didn't even want her dad to know that she was in a relationship with Patrick. And Thais didn't even tell her dad the truth about the real reason why she was coming to the U.S. She just told him she was coming over here on a vacation. She never told him that she was in a relationship with Patrick. She never told him that they got engaged. And she didn't even want to tell them that they were going to get married. Patrick made her say, tell her dad the day before they were going to get married. So how is the Carlos so mad at Patrick when it's not Patrick's fault? It's Thais's fault.
Which was awesome that John was the one to point that out to everybody. Yep.
Yeah. But Carlos nor Jose understood exactly. Well, Jose understood, but Carlos didn't understand what was being said. But Thais didn't tell him what he was saying. Now, did he?
She didn't translate shit.
No.
I think that was on purpose. I don't think that she wanted everybody to know what John had to say because John was out here spitting truth.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Thais wants the blame to be on her. I think she enjoys the fact that she got away scot-free for lying to her dad. Not just lying to her dad. Did you notice when Patrick and John met her friends also said she left in September and told them that she'd be back in February and 2 years later never came back. She lied to everybody. Yeah. She didn't just lie to her dad.
The only thing her friends know is the bad things, and they're not even that bad, but the things that Patrick has done that could be perceived as bad, that's all her friends know. They're like, are you treating her good? Yeah, she's got a freaking Tesla. She lives in a gigantic house. Like, she's spoiled rotten. Yeah, he's treating her fine, you know?
But she's just going to sit there and let her friends attack him like that. You know what? I wish
worried about Sarah, who was the girl that Patrick kissed.
They weren't even in a relationship.
Well, my friends are jealous of her, like I mentioned to you. Oh, yeah, Portuguese princess. Yeah, I mean, I think that her friends could also be jealous that she was snatched away and given an amazing life, right? Like, it's very possible that they're envious. You know, not everybody from that part of the country scores the way that she scored.
Right.
Right. And I feel like the situation where, like, oh, John brought women to the house to a party. He wants you to cheat, or he wants Patrick to cheat on Thais. You know, it got pretty escalated. The girl called John an asshole and John retaliated and was like, well, you're a slut. Right. Like, awesome. You're a slut. And
That was awesome.
I mean, but did you notice the chick that he called a slut? She drank all of the alcohol in there before she threw the ice on him.
Well, yeah, you gotta finish the drink. Those drinks are like $12, right?
She wasn't about to waste a bit of alcohol. She had to go get her slut on somewhere else.
Well, she never said she wasn't a slut, right? She never said she wasn't a slut. Like, normally if somebody calls me a name, I'll deny it. She never said, like, well, I'm not a slut. She was just like,
well, if somebody calls you something or says something to you and you get mad, it's because they actually said the truth. So apparently she is a slut because she got mad.
She got really mad, right? But she didn't deny anything. She was just like, don't call me that on TV. Everybody doesn't even know what I do on my free time. No, like, it was more so like, you don't get to call me that. And I think that John being on this trip, I'm going to put it out there, has made it more entertaining because Patrick and Thais seem like really nice people, but they're very dull. Yeah. And they don't stand up for themselves. They don't speak up for themselves. And John is kind of needed. Kind of like when the Family Chantel premiered, but Miss Karen was part of it. Because without Miss Karen, were we really watching anything? You know, like, yes. I feel like that's kind of how it is with John, with Patrick and Thais. Patrick and Thais are great. But unless John signs on, we don't really have a lot to work with. So yes. I'm really glad that John invited himself. Or production invited him and didn't tell them, I don't care what happened. But I'm just glad that we got him there because what have we really have been watching? We would have been watching Patrick buy his dad $10,000 worth of rocks because he wouldn't have argued. He would have also paid his dad 10 grand to use the farm for the party because he wouldn't have argued. And Thais just would have sat there and looked mad. At least John has made this at least tolerable, right, for us to get through. Because without them, what were we even going to do?
And kudos to Carlos for saying, you know, who in their right mind is going to charge their kids, first of all, and then charge to have their grandkids' birthday party. Jose needed to be called out on all that shit, in my opinion.
And his excuse was, I'm retired.
Yeah.
And now I was like, well, go back to work.
Yeah. Shouldn't have retired if you
What kind of parent are you to, I don't care, but what kind of parent are you to charge rent to your children?
I can't.
Excuse you? I mean, come on now.
Nope.
Seriously? And then Patrick was like, well, John, I charge you rent. Okay, well, that's different.
Yeah.
Because if my sister lived for me, I would charge her rent.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to charge my children rent. I am their mother. I would not do that. What kind of mother would I be if I charged my children rent?
Yep. I agree 1,000%. And John's not his freaking kid. That's his brother who was renting a room. That's very different.
Extremely different. Oh, Emily's bride price was $1.50, right? So I want to get into this because we had a lot of discussions on the bride price and the tradition. Her mom's still pissed off. She don't like it. But they bartered on the price, which I thought was crazy to me, because when you're buying and selling people, it's so weird to like haggle and negotiate on people's worth. But
especially when the starting bid was $1.67.
Right? And they,
I thought the starting bid was a goat.
Dave asked for $2 and they haggled him down to $1.50. Okay? Like, this is insane to me. And I know this is symbolic, and I like when they explained it a little bit better on this episode. I like the idea that they were like, we're proving that we can take care of this person if need be. I like that. You know, I think a lot of people wouldn't get
that too until you dicker. If I'm going to prove to you I can take care of somebody, Dee Dee, you come here. I will take care of you, your room, your board, your car, and all of that stuff. I just need you to pay the mortgage, pay the car insurance, pay the car payment, you know.
And I'm going to give $1.50 for you.
$1.50, right?
It's going to be $1.25 because we got to negotiate that.
Well, right, the negotiation is what got me. Because
yes.
I was like, she is not a used Nissan Altima, guys. We should not be haggling.
But you can't say this is to prove we can take care of somebody and then negotiate the price.
Lowballing it at that, like lowballing. Yeah. The whole thing is, it's wild to me. And the fact that there still has to be a wedding after all this, it's a lot for me. And I'm glad that Lisa was able to get through it. Emily's mom, you know, it physically affected her, you know, because it's not symbolism to her.
I love Emily's mom. And
Lisa's amazing, right? Yeah. Lisa's like the only real person there. The only person who says what she means.
She's so genuine in her. I mean, her feelings like come out. I can feel her feelings. You know, I feel like, yes, there's cameras there, but I feel like she's the only one that's not putting on an act. She's being genuine. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is like, oh, I got to do this way.
Well, yeah. Her husband, Dave, he's just like, oh, when in Cameroon, we do what Cameroonians do. And she's like, well, I'm not from Cameroon, and I'm not trying to be buying and selling and haggling. And, you know, it was a lot to take in. Oh, this, Donna says, I'm surprised they didn't start walking around Emily and pointing out scratches and dents. That's how I felt, right? Like, I felt like they were like, $2. She's not in the best shape. Like, I felt like it was really degrading, right? Like, it was kind of degrading, like, for real. And I get that tradition. Because think about it. In America, if the man trying to marry the woman had to prove that he could physically take care of her, a lot of weddings wouldn't take place. How many women have been duped into marriages where the man lied about his salary or lied about his net worth, and then she ended up in a struggling marriage because he didn't have the physical funds to contribute to finance this marriage. So yeah. I did like the idea that you need to prove that you can take on that responsibility. I kind of wish we did that in the U.S. A lot of women have been entering relationships under false pretenses that they would have never agreed to be in if they knew what the real... Well, look at... I don't want to just put it on women, though, because look at Manuel and Ashley. Manuel wouldn't have married her if he knew how much debt she had, right? But people are allowed to lie about their financial state and get people to commit to them under false pretenses. It should be a crime, right? I feel like it's fraud.
Oh my God.
I mean, I also feel like
that rear end is sagging. Will you take $1.25?
Donna, you're in good form tonight.
I also feel like you should know who you're marrying.
Oh my gosh.
If you don't actually know what they're making, Do you really know them?
I agree with you. Actually, I had a really good friend. She said that before they got married, after they got engaged, they came to dinner and they brought tax returns from the last 5 years and they went over them together. And I thought that is the most intelligent thing that you could have done, because you want to enter into a lifelong marriage with a person. You should know, hell, you could go back farther than 5 years. If you get a job, they're going to check into you for like 7 to 10,
Right.
right? Like, you should know what you're getting into. And we have to start blaming people for not doing their due diligence. You get into a relationship like Angela, you got into a relationship with a man you don't know. Whose fault is it? You have 7 years to get to know him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have 7 years to figure these things out. Are you the victim, or did you just not do your due diligence and find out who you were marrying? You know? Yeah, of course, you're
Exactly.
right. Women are detectives. So if a man is able to fool a woman, it makes you wonder, how did he manage that? Because women can figure things out that the FBI can't figure out. You know? So it's very interesting when we see these situations, because a woman, all based on nothing but intuition, can find all types of shit, right? Like all types of stuff. Like they can figure it out.
Absolutely.
So, oh yeah, Ed and Liz were on, right? And this was the breakup. So Liz was getting her stuff, and Ed said he wanted her to learn from this situation. I think the worst part of it for me was he saw that she was down and he kept kicking her. You know, but this isn't surprising. Ed is a scumbag human being of a person. Like, this is just who he is. I just hate it to see when you see someone is down. Like when I was younger, when we would do sports or whatever, if somebody was down, or like if you're watching boxing or MMA, if you hit somebody a bunch of times, they stop you. Because once you're down, you don't keep hitting people. And I felt like that's exactly what he did. He just kept kicking her and making her feel like this was her fault. And the reason being is he doesn't know how to take responsibility as a man. He even questioned that she wasn't a real woman and she doesn't know how to speak to men. And I was like, well, how do you speak to women? You know, like you
Well,
want to
there wasn't
demand respect
a
from.
man there for her to speak to, so.
Well, this is true. She should have said, show me the man that's present. There's
Yeah.
no men here. These are all women here, sir.
Yep.
Like, there's no men here. What do you
Absolutely.
mean? I'm just talking to a clown. This is the way that you speak to a clown, right? A clown speaks to you, you speak back in the same manner. And that's exactly what she should have
Not
did.
gonna lie, through the whole scene, all I could think about was how the hell would Dee Dee throat punch this guy?
Dee Dee, would you? I don't
He
know what
doesn't
the
even
laws.
have one in
Well,
real life.
the throw punch of him, I would have to get down on my knees.
And there's no throat.
Well, there's one. We just don't know where specifically it lies. Like physically, it
That's
happened.
how low and beneath he is. I would have to actually get down on my knees to throw punches.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know
Dee
what the
Dee's on
laws are in Alabama,
defense.
so I'll just be ready. I'll bring my black card and I'll be ready. Just call me and tell me where they holding you so I can get you out. They can't
Deal.
hold you. They can't hold you. They can't hold you. I won't let it happen. I won't. We'll be ready. I mean that. So we're gonna come back tomorrow, because we're gonna talk MILF Manor. There was a reverse glory hole on MILF Manor. So there was actually a disclaimer on this episode, and I knew it was gonna be bad. I just did, and it was worse than I thought. And we're gonna talk MILF Manor. And we're going to talk Love in Paradise. There's one episode coming next week. And I'm going to throw this out there. I got a DM from Kyle Gordy who said that he wants to come on the podcast. So I'll keep you guys posted, right? Like,
And
I
we
don't
just
know
want to
what.
be very, very clear. If you go back like five episodes ago, where Dee Dee and I said, "This is just a disclaimer on the podcast, Kyle Gordy, you are not welcome," and then this fool still messages.
He
So,
did.
disclaimer: if Kyle Gordy comes on the podcast, you get me and Dee Dee too. So,
I
you
don't
there.
know. Ooh, Donna said don't get pregnant. I promise I won't. Promise. Definitely promise. I don't know what's
Proceed
going on with
with
that.
caution, Kyle, when you want to come on this podcast. Don't say you have not been warned.
Yep.
Yeah. I think I don't know why he picked me. Of all people, I don't know what's going on, but I'll keep you guys posted. But we're gonna come back tomorrow. We're gonna talk about Love in Paradise, the second to the last episode. Tonight's episode, bunch of stuff happened. I don't want to get too much into it. And then MILF Manor was kind of gross, but that's pretty normal. But we're gonna be ending Love in Paradise next week, and then we're gonna be starting. the other way, which I'm really, really excited about because there's new people. And the other way is my favorite because Americans think that they can make it in other countries and they can't. You know, like it's not the same as going to a vacation in the Dominican Republic to living in the Dominican Republic. And I think a lot of people didn't realize that. But we'll be back.
It makes it really hard to go into these shows when there's pre-existing people. Because now with the Statler and Dempsey thing, we know what happened. So it's going to be really hard to watch them and try to keep an open mind during all of that.
You're right.
Yeah, well, we know they're not together anymore. I mean, why do they want to, like, you know what I'm saying? If you're going on a show again and you're not together, just stay quiet about it. Let us find out during the show. Like, you just ruined the whole thing.
Literally.
Yeah. I agree. All right, guys, make sure you're following my co-host, Car and Didi. They're tagging this video. Follow me on all social media platforms, at George Massey, georgemassey.com, anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. I did an interview with Carly on it last week. If you didn't watch it or listen to it, it's on georgemassey.com and on Spotify and all streaming platforms under The George Massey Show. Check it out. It was a really fun interview. We didn't talk a lot of 90 Day, but we did get into a lot of music stuff. So, and I have another interview coming up really soon with somebody that I think you guys are really going to love hearing from. So thank you guys for joining us tonight. And thanks for my co-host for being here. Thanks to Didi for coming back.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye, guys. Good night.
Bye.